At noon on KSFR looks at the top local news headlines for this Wednesday, June 12th.
The Thompson Ridge Fire in the Hamath is 50% contained and has burned 23,000 acres. Now it's burning within its previously established perimeter. The Tres Lagunas Fire near Pecos is 77% contained and on track for full suppression sometime this weekend. Meanwhile, although we're awaiting updated figures, as of last night, the Horoso Fire is at more than 6,000 acres. Tuesday afternoon saw a huge pyrocumulus cloud above the area, creating the opportunity for photographers to get dramatic shots and causing concern among local residents. Santa Fe City Hall has tried to calm fears, saying it's still some 20 miles in a straight line from the city. It's burning in rugged terrain, accessible only by helicopter. Only 60 personnel are assigned to the fire, and there is no containment at this time. Santa Fe County commissioners have moved to enforce the most stringent restrictions on the use of fireworks ahead of the 4th of July holiday. Similar bans have been previously put into place by local governments across the state due to extreme fire danger. State law prohibits enacting complete bans. Instead, limited restrictions can be put in place 30 days at a time when an excessive danger is declared. Santa Fe City Council addresses the matter at tonight's meeting. A nuclear watchdog group is calling for former Republican Congresswoman Heather Wilson to be removed from a Department of Energy advisory panel. Nuclear Watch New Mexico says Wilson's role on the panel should be questioned because she was paid consultant fees of nearly $500,000 by the Los Alamos and other nuclear labs without evidence of what she provided them. The for-profit companies running the labs have since reimbursed the government for the expenses. 1 week from today, the Democratic Party of New Mexico hosts a Santa Fe forum on creating open primaries in New Mexico. Currently, only registered party members can select nominees. That leaves independents and those not having declared out of the process. Fred Nathan of Think New Mexico, former State Democratic Party Chair Javier Gonzalez, and Representative Brian Egoff of Santa Fe will lead an exploration of the political and legal issues involved in allowing all voters to participate. 20 states currently follow the practice. That meeting next Wednesday takes place at the Center for Progress and Justice, 1420 Cerrillos Road. AAA New Mexico routinely issues weekly statements on gas prices here in the Land of Enchantment. Now, the United States Department of Energy plans to do the same thing with electricity as used by electric vehicles. Called eGallon, it's intended to provide consumers with a quick and simple way to compare the cost of fueling electric vehicles versus driving on gasoline. The energy.gov e-gallon website currently shows New Mexicans would spend just $1.12 to travel as far as they would on 1 gallon of gasoline, now at $3.52. Governor Susana Martinez joined Children, Youth, and Families Department Cabinet Secretary Yolanda Daines in Bernalillo County to kick off the Summer Food Service Program. It runs through August 9th and ensures youth up to age 18 have quality meals that they would otherwise receive during the school year. Federal funds pay for the program, which operates statewide and nationally under guidance from the USDA. In 2012, it provided 1.8 million meals to New Mexico children. A new national report found that New Mexico ranks number one for hungry children. Real estate data clearinghouse CoreLogic is out with new statistics on negative equity, referring to the number of mortgages wherein more is owed on a property than its current value. New Mexico ranks comfortably in the middle of states, mirroring the national trend of improving loan-to-value ratios. Of our state's currently active quarter-million mortgages, just over 13% are in negative equity. That compares favorably to states like Nevada, where more than 45% are underwater. The modern water war between our state and Texas over access to the Rio Grande is an expensive legal morass. The Texas Tribune is reporting that the Lone Star State has earmarked $5 million to sue New Mexico over the matter in a case that could get in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. Under historic agreements, New Mexico has the rights to 57% of Rio Grande flow from the Elephant Butte Reservoir southward, with Texas at 43%. Texas says we've been siphoning off too much. The New Mexico Film Office has announced that the feature comedy Search Party will shoot in New Mexico. The film, which features T.J. Miller, Adam Pally, and Shannon Woodward, is expected to hire approximately 78 New Mexico crew members. Filming gets underway in Albuquerque by the middle of the month. The weather, the high today is expected to be near 90 and the low tonight near 60. There's a 10% chance of showers this afternoon into tonight. Looking ahead, temperatures should be in the mid-80s with an increased chance of precipitation tomorrow through Friday. For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
Support for programming on KSFR is underwritten in part by LAM, Los Alamos County Airport, a tax-exempt organization now offering 3 flights a day to and from Albuquerque International, coordinated with the most popular daily flights. Start your journey at LAM. More information at flylosalamos.com.
Dan Garrity back with you now at the KSFR News Desk as At Noon segues to today's feature stories. There's a great deal of oil and gas exploration and production taking place in New Mexico, which can lead to significant pollution in the environment. While a number of safeguards are available to prevent such pollution, now an order has been issued that ignores many of the previously outlined safety measures. Eric Jans is an attorney with the New Mexico Environmental Law Center who opposes the new rules. He joins us now by phone. Eric, who put out this order and what does it entail?
In 2008, the Oil Conservation Commission, which is responsible for passing all the rules that regulate oil and gas production in New Mexico, passed the PIT rule. And that PIT rule regulated wastes from oil and gas drilling operations. So all the wastewater that's produced at a typical oil rig, gas rig, all the muds and stuff that come up, all that was regulated by this PIT rule. And generally what happened before the PIT rule was in place is that oil and gas companies just buried this waste in a hole in the ground. They weren't required to be lined until something like 2002, and the liners were generally very thin. In any event, the PIT rule was the first comprehensive regulation that governed burial of this waste. And this waste isn't benign. It has high concentrations of all kinds of toxic pollutants like hydrocarbons, benzene, arsenic, mercury, other heavy metals, things like that. And so that's sort of the background.
How did these new rules come about?
After the PIT rule was passed in 2008, stuck in oil and gas industry's craw. And they resolved at the first opportunity, I think, to essentially gut that rule. And when Susana Martina was elected, one of her campaign promises was to repeal essentially the PIT rule. She appointed two very industry-friendly oil conservation commissioners, including the chair of the Oil Conservation Commission. So almost immediately, the oil and gas industry petitioned to gut the PIT rule, and that's what happened very recently. In addition to eliminating many of the environmental and public health protections that the PIT rule gave us, it also created a new category of PITs. The industry euphemism for them is multi-well fluid management PITs. But basically what these things are huge artificial lakes that are used to hold fluids from hydrofracking operations, frack jobs.
These so-called frack lakes, along with some of the other measures commonly used in the oil and gas industry, can lead to significant groundwater contamination, including that of drinking water. Given that we're in a severe drought, that seems counterintuitive.
That's really sort of the bottom line on this rule. I mean, we in New Mexico and throughout the arid West, you know, really have to face this very fundamental choice about what sort of resources we value most. Do we value oil and gas resources most, or do we value groundwater resources most, surface water resources most? And, you know, the industry guys will tell you, oh, you don't really have to make a choice. But, you know, that's contrary to everything that we have evidence of. I mean, there's the reason why the good pit rule was initially passed in 2008 was because there are hundreds of cases, documented cases of groundwater contamination from oil and gas waste pits.
The new order also seems to ignore the wishes of the majority of New Mexicans.
It seems to. I think that most New Mexicans have common sense, and they understand that without water resources, whether it's groundwater or surface water, we're not going to be able to live in this state. And, you know, people come here for a reason. It's one of the most beautiful places on earth. So without that groundwater resources, there's not going to be a way to survive here in the desert.
Anything else you'd like to add?
The bottom line is that this rule really eliminates a lot of the protections that the pit rule gave us, gave New Mexicans, in terms of protection of water resources and protection of public health. I think that if there's a silver lining to this, that it might prompt local governments, cities and counties, to take a hard look at where the state's priorities lie and maybe make their own priorities, like Mora County's done with its oil and gas ban.
Eric Jans from the New Mexico Environmental Law Center, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
Ebullient mezzo-soprano Susan Graham performs a title role of Jacques Offenbach's riotously funny The Grand Duchess of Gerolstein this summer at the Santa Fe Opera. All's fair in love and war games at the Gerolstein Military Academy, with its dashing uniformed cadets and apple-cheeked local sweethearts cheering them on, with the Academy's patroness, the Grand Duchess herself, in sexy pursuit. Far from being a lady of a certain age, this Grand Duchess is an amorous aristocrat with an eye for Fritz, her favorite young cadet, sung by the dynamic American tenor Paul Appleby. Soprano Anya Matanovic completes the love triangle. Emmanuel Viaume conducts. The Santa Fe Opera's Grand Duchess of Gerolstein promises lots of laughter and fun. Learn more about this production and the entire upcoming season by visiting santafeopera.com or by calling 800-280-4654. That's 800-280-4654. This message is sponsored by the Santa Fe Opera, a tax-exempt organization.
88 degrees in Santa Fe at 19 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. As if our lack of rainfall alone were not enough to exacerbate extreme fire conditions, New Mexicans are having to cope with a heat wave, bringing temperatures high above seasonal averages for the date. Santa Fe Airport yesterday recorded a high of 97 degrees, besting the previous record of 92 degrees set back in 2001. Meteorologist Jennifer Palucci at the National Weather Service office in Albuquerque tells KSFR about other records broken around the state and what to expect in the days ahead.
Records yesterday were tied at the Albuquerque Sunport. We reached a high of 101. That was last set in 1981, so over a 30-degree record broken there. Clayton also hit a new record of 102. Their previous record was 97, again, in 1981. Looks like 1981 was also a pretty warm year, and we're shattering records across the board from that year. More record highs are on the way for today. We're looking at near records in Albuquerque, perhaps breaking some records around Santa Fe, as well as around Farmington and Tucumcari. So another warm day on tap, and it's just important to remember to stay hydrated and limit your time outside if you can. It's still going to be warm at the end of the week, but there is a little disturbance coming up over New Mexico come Thursday night into Friday. There'll be some increased cloud cover and actually some increased chances of precipitation. So the combination of the two will sort of limit how warm it's going to get come later in the week. It'll still be quite warm, though, so just a couple of degrees lower.
Jennifer Palucci with the National Weather Service office in Albuquerque. Well, summer does bring warmer temperatures, and for some, that means working outdoors in the heat. Those that do, or who spend a great deal of time outside, are at risk of a heat-induced illness. How can it be prevented? KSFR news reporter Charles Maynard is back with us now, and he files this report.
Heat illness is actually a spectrum of conditions caused by excess exposure to warm temperatures. They can run the gamut between mild cramping all the way to heat stroke, which can be fatal. New Mexico, receiving a great deal of sun, has a high incidence of these problems. The New Mexico Occupational Safety and Health Administration, along with some other groups, has a campaign which can educate people on how to avoid heat-induced problems. Harry Bicey is with the New Mexico OSHA office.
Well, we have an alliance with the New Mexico Oil and Gas Association. The main purpose of that alliance that we have is to share information where we can to keep workers safe and healthy in New Mexico. So they have decided that the month of June is a heat awareness month. We are participating with them in outreach efforts to make sure that all workers in New Mexico who work outside in the heat are aware of the symptoms and prevention for heat-related illnesses. Each year in America, there's approximately 20 people who die from heat stress at the job. We've been lucky in New Mexico that no one has died in the last 3 or 4 years, but it is more prevalent, as you would expect, in the southern states.
The program relies on teaching outdoor workers and outdoor activity enthusiasts on the issue.
It's primarily an education effort. We are instructing workers to be aware of the symptoms from heat exhaustion before it becomes a serious problem, to look out for each other, and to take all the prevention techniques that we know about, which is primarily to hydrate. The three buzzwords that we use are water, rest, and shade. So drink plenty of fluids. If you feel the symptoms coming on, take time to take a break and get out of the sun direct, get out of the direct sun.
Although in part sponsored by people from the oil and gas industry, the education is not aimed at workers in that field only.
The specific initiative that we did the press release for was aimed at the oil and gas industry, but our efforts within New Mexico OSHA are to try to address everybody who works outside. So it's a construction industry. It's also workers who work on roads, anybody who works outside. We're trying to reach as many people as possible. It's not difficult for a worker to realize that it's hot, but they don't always realize the early symptoms of heat exhaustion. So we're trying to educate everybody to look out for each other. If they see someone who is starting to appear dizzy or nauseous or who is starting to stumble or not be able to say their words properly, then they may be in the early phases of heat stress and they should take a break. So we're trying to also educate employers to make sure that if they have employees who are working outside, that they don't put extra burden on them, that they make sure the employees are aware that they can take a break and they won't be punished for it if they feel the need.
The materials are available online, but most can be printed for distribution to workers.
Federal OSHA, on their website, which is just osha.gov, they have a ton of information that will help safety trainers train their employees. It is handouts, it's quick cards, it's PowerPoint presentations that a safety director could use to educate his own employees. So it's primarily educational information that is available. We want to make sure everybody uses it. In New Mexico, OSHA is handing out water bottles with the three key words on it: water, rest, shade. Hopefully people will use them and look out for each other. All of the information that's produced by Federal OSHA is in Spanish and in English.
Bicey has some specific advice for folks who are outside in the heat.
Well, there are a couple of things. One is make sure that people are drinking the right products. Water is by far the best thing that people can use to hydrate with. There has been a couple of incidents reported where people have died when they thought they were properly hydrated and what they were drinking was energy drinks. And those don't really provide as much protection as simply water. If someone was suffering from cramps, then it would be a good thing to drink something like Gatorade or other electrolyte replenishing drinks. But the energy drinks like Red Bull can actually be a damaging thing. So water is certainly the best thing. The other thing is, when we know it's going to be hot like this week, the effort should be to hydrate very early in the morning. It's hard to catch up once you get dehydrated. Anybody that's working shouldn't be drinking alcohol on the job, but if they had been drinking the night before, they will be more dehydrated in the morning. So each employee knows whether they've been drinking the night before or not, and they should take special efforts to hydrate with water in the morning if they have.
Harry Bicey with New Mexico OSHA office.
The three buzzwords that we use are water, rest, and shade.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
Programming on KSFR is underwritten in part by the Santa Fe Farmers Market, providing fresh, locally grown food to the community. The Santa Fe Farmers Market is now open every Saturday and Tuesday from 7 to 1 in the rail yard. On Sundays from 10 to 4, the market hosts the Rail Yard Artisans Market, featuring fine arts and crafts, food, music, and more. To learn more, visit SantaFeFarmersMarket.com.
The Lensic proudly presents a Big Screen Classics 80s Comedy Weekend. On Friday, June 14th, see Ferris Bueller's Day Off, the high school adventure comedy starring Matthew Broderick. On Saturday, June 15th, it's Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd. Both shows start at 7, and tickets are very affordable. That's Ferris Bueller's Day Off on June 14th and Back to the Future on June 15th at the Lensic. For tickets, call 988-1234 or visit TicketsSantaFe.org. The Lensic is a nonprofit, member-supported organization.
And in financial news today, a new report has revealed that 2012 saw the largest single-year increase in U.S. oil production ever recorded. U.S. production grew due to an increase in techniques such as fracking. That's the method for extracting shale, oil, and gas. Overall, global energy consumption grew by 1.8% in 2012, a smaller increase than in 2011. China and India accounted for almost 90% of that growth. 2012 also saw the largest annual decline in world nuclear output. Japan, which has seen nuclear production stop after 2011's Fukushima disaster, saw an increase in imports of liquefied natural gas. And on Wall Street, all major indices down, the Dow off 84 points at 15,037, the NASDAQ off 24 at 3,412, and the S&P 500 down 9 at 1,616. 28 minutes past the hour, as we approach the bottom of the hour, it's our custom to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
The winds here seem to have been particularly ferocious for the past few years. We've been lucky compared to the wrath unleashed on much of the country by thunderstorms and tornadoes, but the incessant New Mexico wind with the accompanying dirt, dust, fire, ash can become, if you start focusing on it, maddening. Plus, the wind can make life difficult for a lot of people, like at flea markets, setting up tents, on the plaza, setting up booths, or trying to make a movie. I have a cameraman friend who was filming Galisteo a year ago, and he said all they did was clean dust off the equipment. And the windy challenges continue to bedevil filming in New Mexico this year, but the other night I rewatched the John Ford-directed movie The Searchers, partially filmed in Monument Valley. At one point, John Wayne, in the movie, complains about the wind. That was in 1956. Boy, talk about a blowhard. For KSFR, this is Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks today to my contributing colleague, Charles Maynard. We'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow, and as always, we hope you join us.